That sound means it's time to talk to Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, every Thursday right here on the Sports Ticket. And Brian's appearance here on the show brought to you every week by our good friends at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or give them a call, 785-738-5701. Brian Haney is with us, the voice of the Jayhawks. Brian, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, Wade. Did you come back all tan from the Virgin Islands?
I did not. I sometimes can burn easily, so I put on plenty of sunscreen, and I bought a $20 bottle of spray sunscreen because that I didn't want to check any bags, so I didn't want to. They have to, you know, the deal, 3 ounces or whatever liquids, and so I was like, I'll just have to suck it up and buy that there at the store, and everything's overpriced in places like that, and. It was either the $17 lotion to rub on or the $20 spray bottle, and I went with the spray. I saw a little bit of the islands and got to be on the beach a little bit, but no, did not get burned, did not really get a tan, but I really wanted to, I will tell you that.
I'm kind of like you, man. I burn into a lobster real fast, so that's probably a good call on your part to get that SPF. 45.
I think the one I got, all they had was 70. I was like, I didn't even know they made it that high, but hey, whatever
wow.
The case would be. My wife's a redhead, and she burns really easily. Redheads burn more than us regular, Caucasian people, I guess. And so she has to be very good at putting on sunscreen. So maybe that's where I learned how to dose myself up and lather myself up with sunscreen, I guess. Brian, let's talk about the Jayhawk basketball team. A nice win over Long Beach State the other night. Certainly, KU up and down, getting a transition, and Coach Self said afterwards, we can go even faster, which is scary for future opponents. What do you take out of that win?
Well, I think several things. One, LeGerald Vick had arguably the best shooting performance in Kansas basketball history. Most makes without a miss is 10. Danny Manning and Norm Cook did that in 86 and 73, respectively. He was 9 for 9, but what gives him the argument to possibly having had the best shooting line in Kansas history, 4 of his 9 makes were 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. These weren't all dunks and layups, not that Danny's were, but 4 of them coming from distance. And he had a 10th shot go down that you probably saw, Wade, on a breakaway dunk, but simultaneous to the dunk was a whistle 90 feet in his dust from Joe DeRosa saying that Carlton Bragg had reached back and grabbed the ankle of a Long Beach player to halt the breakaway. And so the dunk was literally being thrown down as the whistle was blown, and Coach Self was certainly upset about that. Not that he cares a ton about individual records, but you can't have a foolish foul like that on one end cost you a bucket on the other in what might be a much tighter game a couple of months from now in Big 12 play. So, but I say that to say that it was a truly special night to watch him do that and to be able to chart the all-time record books like that. And he's really, really come into his own here of late. That's 3 times this season he set a new career high. First it was 12, then it was 15, now it's 23. And you can just tell his confidence is growing by the week. And Coach Self said he really saw the light come on with him late last season, and he spilled that over into the spring and summer workouts. A lot of coaches will tell you the greatest improvement in a player's career in terms of individual player development comes between that first and second seasons when they know what to expect. You get a year of strength and conditioning, a year of D1 high major conference coaching, and then you really start to see the fruits of those labors. And I think that's what we saw with LeGerald the other night, and that's not something you can sustain, obviously. But I think now in the starting lineup, getting more minutes, he could absolutely be a 10 or 11 point per game type guy that's a great complementary scorer that plays on a pogo stick. I mean, this guy could be one of your best offensive rebounders based on his leaping ability alone. And then he's a really athletic defender. We've talked about this on previous reports that look at the way he was chasing around Grayson Allen in the garden. Look at the length, the way he slides his feet, the leaping ability that I referenced. You put all those things together, and he can really help you on that end of the floor, too. So, to me, that was the biggest takeaway. You had, obviously, a huge rebound margin in favor of Kansas, and there were other good things that they did, shooting the ball 60% and 54% from downtown. But to see an emerging star just continue to shine like LeGerald Vick, I think that was the highlight of Tuesday night.
What I really appreciate about LeGerald Vick is that he's one of these guys, according to what I've read and heard, and through reports that you guys have had as well through the Jayhawk Network, is that he's a guy that he worked hard during on his game during the offseason. He wasn't one of those guys that maybe initially he thought this. You know how it is. You're the stud on your high school grounds, and you're the man. And then you come to college, and it's a dose of reality. And we have seen highly touted freshmen or highly touted recruits or highly talented players go to programs like Kansas. Kansas has had a few examples. I can think of Micah Downs off the top of my head. That things don't go well their first year, and they're immediately looking for the exit hatch to get out of Dodge and go somewhere else, whether they don't want to put in the work to get better, whether they think they are entitled to play more than they are. What I really appreciate about LeGerald Vick is he didn't do any of that. He stuck with it, and now he's reaping the benefits of all the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he knew going in, I'm a really good player, but I'm not that blue-chip McDonald's pedigree that some of these other guys are. It's going to take me a little bit of time to carve out a bigger role just based on the sheer talent on the roster a year ago. I mean, look at the guys that Kansas had out there, Perry Ellis and Wayne Selden, just to name a couple. And so he was realistic about it, but then had that year to kind of take inventory on his game and look at the areas in which he needed to improve, one of which was having a more consistent jump shot, not just being an athlete on that end of the floor that could get you stick backs and finish in transition, but really polishing out that mid-range and long-range game, and I think he's done that. And with anything, it just comes with being more comfortable and confident and not pressing, feeling like you belong, feeling like you've got a chance to really make an impact. And I think a lot of freshmen go through that transition where you're no longer entering the game with the mindset of, okay, just don't screw up, but rather you're entering the game with the mindset of, hey, let's make a difference here. Let's make something happen. And he's now doing that, and he's entering the game in the starting five, which obviously has to be a big confidence boost for him as well, because if you and I were talking 3 months ago, and we were, and we were hearing about this potential four-guard lineup, and you would have thought if Kansas was going to go to four guards that the first guy they'd turn to as that fourth guy would be Svee, who's not had a bad start to the year. He had 14 the other night, 4 of 8 from downtown. He's 6'8 in height, so there's a lot you like there. But LeGerald, I think, gives them more defensively and right now more efficiency offensively, which is saying something, because if this was a game of horse, I think Bill Self would be drafting Svee first based on his shot-making abilities. So really exciting to see that young man blossom.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every Thursday, brought to you by our fine friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701. So LeGerald Vick, certainly one of the bright spots the other night against Long Beach State. KU continues to have some issues in the front court in regards to offensive production, early foul trouble, so forth and so on. Carlton Bradcott got a couple of fouls early in this contest the other night. But my question for you is Landon Lucas, because I read a story, I can't remember if it was Jesse Newell or Sam Mellinger, I think it was one of the two, writing about maybe there should be a little more concern about Landon Lucas. He has a foot injury. Bill Self has kind of downplayed that. He was wearing a boot, I think it was, over there before the first game against Indiana. Landon Lucas doesn't quite seem to be himself like he was last year. What can you tell us about Landon Lucas and going forward with him on the basketball floor?
Well, the reason he sat the other night was actually an oblique strain, something he tweaked during shoot-around, and Coach said afterwards what you alluded to. He downplayed the whole foot side of it, said, no, he's going to be fine. This was an oblique. Clearly, he's not had the productivity, and yet you can trace that back to a couple of things. One, obviously when you're playing alongside Perry Ellis, it's going to open up some things for you. But two, he's just had a hard time staying on the floor. And he's been the victim of a really bad whistle in at least two of the games where he got into early foul trouble. And that's not to sound like sour grapes or spilled milk or anything, based on blaming the refs, because he needs to be more careful. But Bill Self has pointed out three or four fouls that, should not have been blown. And if those aren't whistled like they were, I think you see him stay in the game, and hopefully he's getting into more of a rhythm and a groove right now. Not that he was going to post huge numbers in either of those instances, but I think it compounds the problem when you already kind of feel like you're a targeted guy and you're picking up early foul trouble and you're only playing about 10 minutes in a game because of it, and you come in, you get two quick ones right away. It becomes bigger and bigger in his mind, and I think he's been frustrated. And the injuries don't help, obviously, and that's frustrating too. and he hears, you know, fans, you know, wondering about his productivity and how come he's not, you know, becoming this fifth-year senior stud for us and all that. And I think that's frustrating for him. But he's such a great young man. He's a cerebral, heady player. We talked about how Bill Self said he's the smartest or one of the smartest big men players he's ever coached. And I think part of that smarts isn't just basketball aptitude. It's the smarts to know that, you know what, let me be patient with this. I'm going to sit out on Tuesday, hopefully be back Saturday. Let's put my health first and know that eventually I'm going to get it going. And eventually I have to get it going for this team to be all that it can be. It's clear Udoka gives this club its optimal upside on both ends of the floor. There's things he can do as a finisher, you know, whether it's just the dunks or you know, being able to finish at the rim with lay-ins and the jump hooks, and the presence he provides being a little bit taller, a little bit longer as a defensive presence. Now, notice I didn't say rim protector or shot blocker mm-hmm. just yet. They'd like him to develop into that. He's not that yet, but he has the ceiling and the upside to become that. Now, why am I talking about Udoka when you asked about Landon? Because at some point, Wade, you're going to need Landon. And it's not just on nights when Udoka gets in foul trouble or Udoka's going through growing pains. Udoka right now isn't hitting free throws. And we could get into a situation later in the year when you see a Hack-a-Doke type scenario, like Hack-a-Shack, unless the freshman starts to improve his free throw shooting. And Bill Self has said, we don't expect him to be great this year from the free throw line, but he needs to get it up to at least 60%. If we're going to be able to stick with him late in games. And so, you know, obviously you're going to want Landon to play a lot sooner than late game scenarios when fouls could be an issue and teams intentionally trying to foul a vulnerable free throw shooter. You want Landon to give you quality minutes throughout. But I'm just saying, like, Bill Self's trying to cultivate other options just in case the free throws don't come along. Bill Self's right now trying to, you know, get Landon back and going at the rate he was a year ago because he needs that. This team's better with him playing at that level, not just for his own sake, but, man, he's such a great mentor to guys like Carlton and guys like Udoka. And, you know, if he's rolling along doing his thing on the floor, I think everybody's better because of it. So I have full confidence he'll get it going eventually. It's just been a combination of factors that I think have kind of snowballed into a frustrating start for him. But it's my hope that before the calendar flips and we're down there in TCU territory on December the 30th, you know, for Big 12 conference play opening up, that we're seeing a much more familiar version of Landon Lucas from late last season.
Next game for the Hawks is Saturday against Stanford, Allen Fieldhouse, 2:30 tip time, pregame 2 o'clock over on Z96.3 The Lake, the home of the Jayhawks here in north central Kansas. What can you tell us about Stanford? Of course, a former Jayhawk leading the way.
Well, certainly excited to see Jared Hass's team up close and see a former McDonald's All-American and Reed Travis. They've got some talent, and they're a club that I think you know, is going to probably be the third best team KU's faced this year. Bill Self wondered if Long Beach State might be that, but they weren't at full strength the other night. They were without their second leading scorer, Evan Payne, who had an ankle injury and didn't make the trip. But he really felt like Long Beach was right there with Georgia. I think Stanford's better than both those teams. And while they're not in the Duke, Indiana category, clearly this is a Pac-12 club that has a chance to make some noise out there this year and possibly be a tournament team. So I think Coach Self is certainly anticipating a great fight on their hands on Saturday. I think a lot of fans anticipating a fun homecoming with Jared coming back, who did a great job at the UAB program. And we just saw his thumbprint all over that roster a couple of weeks ago in the Kansas City event. I guess that was just a week and a half ago on Monday. So it's been fun to see his career ascend. You know, for a while there, Jared was with Roy Williams at North Carolina, and he had an interesting arrangement with C.B. McGrath, another former Jayhawk, who's from my high school of Topeka West, where, you know, Roy only had so many spots on the bench, and he had Joe Holiday and let's see, who else did he have on that team? You know, he had his staples of assistant coaches that he'd had, many of which, Steve Robinson, for example, here at KU. And he had the two young guys, and they would rotate every other year as to who the third assistant was and who, had to be an ops guy and sit behind the bench and not be involved in the huddle and that kind of thing. And that was the arrangement for, you know, the better part of a decade for Jared. But then to see him get the UAB gig, have great success there, made the tournament a couple of years back, and now on his way at the major conference level, I don't think it surprises anybody based on the heady player that he was while he was here. And I know he's going to have a ton of fans giving him a special, you know, shout out and tribute when he comes home on Saturday, and that's going to be a lot of fun for Jayhawk fans to see. We had Larry Brown in the house on Tuesday. Now Jared Haas, one of many people's favorite players from the 1990s, coming in on Saturday. It's really going to be a fun week to be in the fog, that's for sure.
And also fun tonight, KU volleyball team hosting the first and second round NCAA tournament. What can you tell us about their matchups?
Well, I think that it's a situation with Stanford where, you know, you respect this team. They come from the same league that Furman did a year ago, who Kansas dispatched in the first round. But, you know, you're hopeful to get by this one, and you really lock in on Creighton and UNI, whom you know well because you beat them both to start the year, but they've both improved significantly since then, as has Kansas. But Creighton's won 20 in a row right now. They're 26-6 after opening the year at 500 through 12 matches. And so you certainly are weary of what they could do with the run and roll they're on right now. I think Kansas is going to be tested these next couple of nights, but same time, they're at home. They've been at home now for five straight years, hosting the first two rounds, which speaks a lot about the consistency and the year-in, year-out, success and winning culture that Ray Bouchard's established here. So that's really encouraging. And consider this, the last 6 years, Wade, KU volleyball has just two losses outside of the top 50 in RPI, just two in 6 years. Mm. And of their five losses in the last two seasons added up, four of the five have come to teams that were either first or second in the RPI. Wow. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
So they're a battle-tested group that's done well against just about everybody. And obviously the expectation here is you advance and possibly wind up down in Austin to take on the fourth seed at some point, the Texas Longhorns. And a lot of folks were upset about the way that went down, Kansas getting the five seed nationally, Texas getting the four, you know, considering the fact that KU won the Big 12 outright. But what it came down to was your strength of schedule, specifically strength of non-conference schedule, and it was, unfortunately, apples and oranges there in the eyes of the selection committee. And so KU realizes that, and yet you better believe that's a motivator and a chip on the shoulder of some of these players who won their league outright but might have to go on the road to the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. So I think that, obviously you'd much rather be at home. I think that might fuel the fire a bit. Between now and the Final Four, should KU get there.
Just make it even sweeter. You knock off Texas and make it to the Final Four and keep them out of the Final Four. It could be even sweeter. Time for the off-the-wall question, Brian. I know Salty Iguana is one of your big sponsors, KU Athletics, and with Coach Self. I've heard the commercials, very funny and entertaining. And the reason I bring this up is when I was at the Virgin Islands, they had a whole bunch of iguanas. And there's a sign, as we were going down the steps down to the beach, there's a little waterfall near the resort we were at, and there's like 15 of these iguanas, and they're not like 6 inches long. I mean, they're like 3-4 feet long or bigger. They look somewhat menacing. They just look up at you, and there's like bushes on your right and bushes on your left, and so you're focusing on all these iguanas. You're like, am I going to step on them? Do I got to kick them to the side? Do I turn around and go another way down to the beach? And all of a sudden, you look to your right and your left, and you're like, oh my God, there's an iguana staring right at me, like a foot away. And it kind of freaks you out a little bit, because if you're not big into reptiles, you're like, what do I do? And then there's a sign that I apparently misread the first part of the trip. And I thought the sign said, the iguanas typically will move for you. They do not have a tendency to bite. Later on, somebody corrected me and said, Wade, you didn't read that very carefully. It says they do have a tendency to bite, which had I read it correctly the first time, I probably would have been scared with my tail between my legs and went like a mile around the resort to get to the beach. So my question to you is there any type of creature, whether it's an iguana or something else, that either freaks you out or worries you or scares you a little bit?
It's a great question. And, this might make me sound, I don't want to say girly because that would be chauvinistic of me. It makes me sound G-U-R-L-E-Y, Greg Gurley. How about that?
Oh, well played.
When I was a kid, we moved into a new house in Topeka, Kansas, and it had a spider problem.
Okay.
And one day I'd fallen asleep in the living room, and I woke up to have about six spiders crawling all over my leg.
Ooh.
And ever since then, not that I'm arachnophobic, but I have no patience for spiders. I'm the type of guy that, like, if a moth gets in the house, I catch it in a cup and set it free, and I'll spend, like, 3 or 4 minutes trying to do that. But if it's a spider, I'm sorry, you've wandered into my neighborhood. You're like Dikembe Mutombo. I'm going to wave my finger at you and stomp you out and get you out of here. Spiders are something I have no patience for and a little bit of phobia toward, but maybe not full-on arachnophobia. It's just something that ever since that fairly traumatic experience as a youngster, I haven't had much patience for.
So you don't set the spiders free, but you do the moths. Good to know.
I know. It doesn't make much sense, does it?
It does in a roundabout way. It does. You explained it very, very well. Always enjoy your answers to that question. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every Thursday. We'll talk to him again next Thursday. Brian, have a great call against Stanford, and then KU's got UMKC coming up on Tuesday, and we'll recap hopefully a couple of victories for the men's basketball team, and hopefully the volleyball team is still in it in the NCAA tournament. We always appreciate your time, man.
Looking forward to it, bud. Thanks very much. You have a great day.
You too. Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They allow us to have Brian on every single Thursday as our sponsor of that segment, and they do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 785-738-5701.